All right, let's open our Bibles up tonight to Exodus chapter 35. Now, we concluded last week with a precious study on when Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And we rejoiced, and I was thankful to even give mention of it at the convention. This foreshadow, if you will, of the glorious mystery of the Bride of Christ. We know that this is this wonderful message that was revealed through Paul's gospel. And we were, I believe, captivated in heart, and I continue to be so, and I pray we always will, how the Word of God over and over gives us this encouragement of the bridal message. It's line upon line. I believe it's between the lines, in the lines, in the words. It's everywhere. And I thank God as He continues to put a hunger in our heart, how He feeds it, how the Holy Ghost, as we go along on this journey, He knows when He'll just need to give us more light upon light. There's always that anticipation for it, as you know. But what Moses saw, we rejoiced. The back parts, never forget that, the back parts of God also means the future. He saw that future glory. He saw the bride. That second verse of the 34th chapter, the events that take place in there, I believe is a full outline, if you will, of the time that the bride will be raptured. Get up early in the morning. Meeting the Lord in the air. And praise be to God, all that could be seen and all that could be said, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Now, what immediately follows and unfolds in Exodus 35, it sure caught my heart with even more joy. Rejoicing, praise God, even the more, because there is more of that hidden mystery, if you will, in the Old Testament that comes forth. The building of the heavenly Jerusalem and the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. I thank God. I was reading some precious notes this afternoon. On my desk, there's that notes of Brother Hill's study of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And just to go in there and to see the rejoicing captured in words that were written upon his heart. The joy of the cherubim. The glory of the colors of the curtains. All of the meaning. And then the thankfulness of the revelation that this was the testimony for us of what the Lord is building in that continuing city whose builder and maker is God. They were building a place that the Lord would have rest in, that He would come and tarry in a sense and be in His presence among the people. And just think, we're being built that place for Him. Praise God. Lively and precious stones. Being cut right now perfectly to be in place. And I praise God that we see these things. But last week, the glory we saw was so immense that Moses beheld that it lit his face up, didn't it? He had to cover that face because it was scaring all the people. But see, as we rejoiced and said, "Thank you, Lord," Moses had seen the glory of God at other times. He had spoken to God face to face as a friend. And we saw that the difference this time was because of the glory that he saw in this back part, this glory that will be in the future. See, that glory still has not ever been seen in a sense, ever, because Jesus Christ has never had his bride yet. But that glory, when they get together, will be such a double portion, will be such a magnificent glory that, as we'll read again tonight, you know, that city is not going to have any need for a sun or a moon. I'll tell you what, there is a love and a passion that'll be lighting that up in the ages to come, that it won't need anything because it's got His glory and He's the light thereof. Aren't you thankful you see it? Now, we saw this in Revelation 21, 23, where it does say that the city... Yeah, let's go on over there. We have hours tonight. I learned from those pastors. You know, they kept kidding about time. I'll tell you what, they were in time shall be no more. I teased them. But no, God had his way. But in Revelation 21, 23, it said, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Do you know she's lit with the Lamb right now? See, that isn't just for some future time. She's lit up right now. And I thank the Lord that that's that transparency. That's that from glory to glory, even into the very image of Him, that she becomes for Him. And I thank God that, you know, as you said of sweet Pastor Hines, that love, I thank God for it. But that is that radiant love, that passion, praise God. And as Paul said, but yet that we would love one another more and more. There's, let me tell you something, there's no limit to it. If in heaven it's going to be the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness in the ages to come, we better know. There's no limit. It's ever expanding, and it's ever expanding at an increasing rate. And we thank the Lord for it. And I'm so thankful He's going to be, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be built to stand it. Praise God. But here in chapter 35, if you go back to where we're at here, Moses, after this wonderful encounter, if you will, this encounter with glory and this transformation, this change that happened to Moses, because it did. Because Moses had received things before, but now there was going to be, if you will, an increase of power, that Holy Ghost, Shekinah glory, that by the grace of God would encourage him in more love. And it's amazing when we're encouraged in more love, how effectually we can be used of the Lord. So what happens here in chapter 35 is Moses speaks to the people the word of God that the Lord wrote on the tables of stone. But now with this glory, even changing his countenance, the people are moved in heart to build the tabernacle. Oh, yes, they are. And the glory of the Lord in his presence will now have a place to dwell in the tabernacle. And as I said earlier, this is the parallel of a place that the Lord will dwell in the future when the bride adorned New Jerusalem is complete. Hallelujah. This is what God is speaking to us. Now, in chapter 35, as it begins here, Moses speaks the instruction of the building of the tabernacle, specifically all of the things that are necessary to construct it. We're going to read of the gold, the silver, the brass, the purple, the oil, the wood, etc., the stones, everything necessary, even including the garments and the items for the priest. So now with that introduction, let's go ahead and begin reading from verse 20 after Moses finishes speaking to the people of what needs to be done and what needs to be gathered. Verse 20, chapter 35. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses, or if you will, by the word that was in the hand of Moses. So this is very beautiful. You can see that something's changed. We can see that there has been an anointing, praise God, and that anointing is pouring forth. And so thankful here that we notice first, it wasn't everyone, but it was everyone whose heart was stirred. See, people will hear the word of God, but that heart needs to be stirred. And everyone whose heart was stirred, and that word stirred means a heart that is lifted up and exalted. Doesn't the Lord so sweetly, as he ministers to our heart, isn't it lifting? Praise God. Doesn't it just cause you to exalt him in that praise that comes forth? There's nothing better than hearing the word of God. And there's nothing better than hearing the word of God with the people of God. And this is what was going on there. You talk about a unity and an encouragement. But see, this is what the glory of the Lord does. This is why it's so important to preach the glory gospel. The gospel of the glory. The glory of his grace doctrine. And it is. This is the glory of his grace, praise God. And this is what is transforming in those vessels of mercy that will. Those are the riches of glory that are bestowed. And in those that, if you will, are lifted up, they're going to be used to build the house of the Lord. Amen? And I believe that's the same way it's going right now. Those that'll be lifted up in this glory doctrine and in this truth, they'll be used to build the house of the Lord. How beautiful. Now, matter of fact, not just used to build it, they'll be the building of it. And how gorgeous that he does this for us. Yes, it is even a better thing. Now notice it goes on and it says, and a willing spirit. Did you notice that? Whose heart was stirred up in them, and everyone whose his spirit made willing. And I love that. And once again, God is the one that causes the heart to will and to do of his good pleasure. And always remember, when he stirs, and when he does stir, be willing. When the Lord stirs you, be willing. Move right then. Don't wait. That might pass you by. I've had times where I waited. Thank God for his faithfulness. The only thing that I wish is I wish I would have moved sooner. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be a stodgy old stump too long. Get going. And allow that wind to just come in there, that Holy Ghost wind, and move you. So it says, all came, both men and women. And notice, I love that there. It says in verse 22, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now we know that there were other things that were offered, but it says there that every man that offered an offering of gold to God. See, everything that's offered to God in the name of his Son and in the word of his grace, it's gold. It's gold to God. It's treasure, praise the Lord. And it's profound because gold speaks of reigning. And an heir of God always has inheritance. Always know that. Even the most infant babe in Christ is an heir of God. Not even worthy to be compared with any of the riches of this world is that life and its inheritance. But again, we know that's just the beginning. But it's always gold. We're so thankful. It's always a reigning life. And I thank God how he encourages us, because it's always all there. We are, as the word of God has told us, Christ liveth in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Born of God, we are little lords of all. Amen. Praise his name. Now, we get to the specifics here in verse 23. Now, in verse 23, you said, every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins brought them. Those are the outer works, if you will, the covering of the tabernacle and the curtains that are within that enclose the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. I love this because if you get to studying a little bit about that too, the cherubim are seen three places in the tabernacle there that they were building. The one we rejoice in all the time, the cherubim coming out of the mercy seat. But then in this tabernacle, the cherubim were seen basically, as it says, the cunning work of those that would sew that tapestry into these curtains. But those cherubim were only on certain curtains. They were on the curtains, if you will, that are on the top of the tabernacle throughout. And then, it was so sweet, the curtain of cherubim was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The cherubim hung on the four pillars going into the Holy of Holies. Remember that four speaks of weakness? In order to go in there, you know it's got to be God's strength. In order to have that kind of fellowship in the Holy of Holies, it's got to be Him. And I thank the Lord that it just showed you. You begin to walk into that, in what God again is encouraging our heart in the fellowship of what He wants us to have. And that full fellowship, that fully mature fellowship, that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. The intimate, exact knowledge as a husband and wife. Why else would it be those cherubim that you break forth through to go on in there? Amen? To that kind of intimacy and that kind of fellowship. And we rejoiced in that, didn't we? What was going on there in a sense in type with the priest and the cherubim. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. Now, think of these curtains. This is so wonderful. You think of these curtains. These curtains enclosed this holy place. These curtains enclosed the beauty of the cherubim upon that mercy seat. Now think of this. It's the righteousness of saints, Revelation 19:8. There, that's going to be the fine linen that the Lamb's wife will be arrayed in. It's enclosed in that. It's enclosed. Here you go. You think that the focal point of the city of New Jerusalem, we know, is going to be the Lamb and the Lamb's wife. That's it. She's His glory. But as we see, and as the picture shows us in the Word of God in many different ways, we see that the innumerable multitude stands before the throne. They're waving palms. There's a focal point, and that focal point is the midst of the throne. There's a focal point, if you will, that's of that garment that's arrayed around that wonderful bride. That's the righteousness of saints. And it's a glory just like the Lord Himself. But the focal point of all of that arraignment, praise God, is the bride, the Lamb's wife. So we have all the curtains, and it's beautiful, and it's arrayed all and wonderfully mighty. But the focal point is that fellowship on that mercy seat. That focal point is that mercy of those cherubim coming out. How wonderful that we read many times even about that, how even the priests would go in there to offer. But yet there would be a glory that would begin to come up, and there would smoke come. And it said that even the priests had to flee. There was nobody left but God and the cherubim. Isn't that interesting that it says just God and the cherubim? It didn't go talk about the curtains and all of those different things. Because really what it was getting at, so precise, it's about Jesus and His bride. Praise God. So see this in here as we go. Now verse 24, go on to that. And we're going to see now, as we go along here, we're going to start seeing ranks. There's ranks in what's going on here. Every man in his own order. And this is going to be typed in building this tabernacle, just like it's going to be typed, praise God, in New Jerusalem. One star does differ from another in glory. There's going to be different functioning of saints and what they're receiving and what they've received in heaven. And praise God, what they receive is what is built up in them right now. So, in verse 24, it says, "And everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it." And that word service means servant. Okay? Now let's think about what we just read there. Silver, brass, wood. Now those are very familiar items to those that have studied the Word of God. They represent redemption. The 30 pieces of silver, we've got the wood, the cross, the redemption, the brazen altar, all of those wonderful, if you will, works of brass. Now, they represent those of, if again we can speak of this, a lesser rank. It's a very needful thing. It's part of this tabernacle. But it is the work of service, a work of a servant, the type of the innumerable multitude that sings salvation to our God. Now go back over to Revelation chapter 7. We'll kind of tie this in and how this is. In Revelation chapter 7, John says, "After this I beheld, and lo," and this is verse 9, "after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues, and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Now, they cried salvation, because that's all they knew. Silver, wood, and that brass. That's what they knew. That's what they had. That's what they brought. And notice it said service. That word service translates servants. I believe it's not a far stretch to say that one that would be waving a palm before a throne, the only thing I can get in my mind is that of a servant. Amen? We see that that's the majority that's in heaven. It is the innumerable multitude, more than any other life that's in that city, is going to be those that are waving that palm. It's a shame, because there's so much more. But thanks be to God, they took salvation, but they did not move on to salvation with eternal glory. That speaks of, again, what they brought forth. These represent those that have gone only so far in the knowledge of the truth. They received salvation, but not salvation with eternal glory. Therefore, they have no crown. They have no reigning. They have palms waving salvation. Think about what is preached. And thanks be to God if it is preached. At least it's preached. And most of Christian churches still remaining in Christianity today. Not by name, but by word. Remember, Christian isn't by name, it's by the word of his grace. But that's what you get. And that's what you'll get over and over. And as the word of God tells us, that we need to move on from the milk of the word. A babe needs milk. We know that. God uses this in type, the family, the function, children and teenagers and then adults all the time. Babies do need milk. But the Lord, as we know in the truth and in the word and as he expresses his heart, he's after us for one thing, to grow up, to move on, to go on to strong meat. As he went back and he expressed his disappointment, Brother Paul, he said to those that had received the strong meat and had received his gospel and rejoiced in his gospel, he said, "What are you doing?" Basically, again, as he said to the Galatians, "Who hath bewitched you? What are you? You should be teaching. You should be teaching this bridal message. But because you haven't taught it, you forgot it." I know people that knew the bridal message And they think that they can retain it up here, and it's a recall thing. I've seen it. Well, we're coming out the living waters. We're going to go ahead and preach Paul's gospel. Don't work that way. You stumble and you fumble and you bumble. I'm speaking as it is, brothers and sisters. I'm not anything, but I'll tell you what, the Word of God knows. And I will not withhold a thing by the grace of God. But you preach no other gospel and you stand in no other gospel. And that's how the bride comes forth. And he said to him, you should be preaching this gospel of strong meat. But not only are you not preaching it, I've got to go back and feed you with milk. Because you've fallen so far from it that I'm wondering if you're even going to stumble and confuse yourself with the story of salvation. Think about what he's saying to them. And but for the grace of God, we would go there. And that's why we need to pray for one another and appreciate those that preach the whole counsel of God. And it's not to be arrogant. It's not to, you know, have some type of a moniker where we think that we're proud in a sense of ourselves and we're the ones that are faithful and true. He's the one that is faithful and true. But if we're in love, are we not in love? That's why we hear the in love doctrine and the in love, if you will, message. This is a proposal. And thank the Lord for it. It's the proposal that will continue to excite you. When it becomes something that's cerebral, it'll grow cold and old and it won't have any power or effect because it's lacking love. We thank God for this. But that's what they received, and that's what they could give. Salvation. All right? Let's go on over to verse 25 now. Here we go. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin. They did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. Now, the women here, that word also interprets a wife. And if that doesn't get you, then let's just go right on over to wise-hearted. Wise-hearted means a heart with the discernment of kings ruling and reigning. Why does it have to be that wise, these women? Because God is trying to tell you something. This is what they are. This is what they have. And where was it? In their heart. Isn't that beautiful? And all the women that were wise-minded? Wise-hearted. This is love. It's a difference. Isn't it wonderful? See how personal, and it's just so beyond personal. Personal, intimate, It's everything in all of the Old Testament brides. It's everything in the passion of Jacob. For Isaac for Rebekah, or Jacob and Rachel. It's that love. This is a love story. And the love story begins that he's in love with you. You awaken to that. You'll fall in love with him. But then the conclusion of it all is, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. He gets all the credit. He gets all the praise and all the glory because it's his desire. His desire changed Jesse. I didn't change anything. He changed me. And I couldn't change a thing. I can only preach the word, but oh, does it work effectually in them that believe? But see, these are the wise-hearted, ruling hearts here. They have a deeper conviction of love and a calling that is upon these women. We just read of those. What did it say? That it says they brought for any work of the service brought it. They brought it as servants. These women brought wisdom within their heart to him. And notice here, too, is they went past salvation with this kingly discernment, this kingly wisdom, they went on into salvation with eternal glory. When you pick up the word of God, are you reading it as a servant? Or are you reading it as a jointly reigning and ruling wife together with Jesus Christ? That's how I picked this up, because that's how the faith that he's instilled in my heart. Praise God, it is the glory for him. Honey, I want you to read this. I want you to know this more. I want you to see how much I love you and what we're to share together. What my Holy Ghost will do and just continue to bring you this encouragement. The Holy Ghost ministers to me, but I hear the voice of my beloved. Amen. And that's it. So we're thankful to this. But they went on. It's just like Esther. See, she sought salvation for her and her people. But the king brought her into shared glory with him. It's all yours, Esther. Now, Esther didn't have to take it, but she did. You could say, well, she would have been stupid not to take it. Well, Vashti didn't. Amen? So don't just think that, oh, it was such a layup for Esther. Let me tell you something. There was one that went before her. Her name was Vashti, and she had it all. And let me tell you something. He loved that woman. And that was his glory, and he wanted her to come forth. He wanted her to come forth for him. But she didn't love him enough. She was self-consumed. I don't feel like it. And you can put anything in there of why you don't feel like going on. But the whole reason is he ain't your first love. Just call it what it is. If this is convinced your heart that it is true and he is first love, you'll go on. It doesn't matter how you're beaten by the the gate men and the watchmen and all of them that want to just abuse you. It doesn't matter what the daughters of Jerusalem say to you and discourage you and call you a hussy and stupid or whatever it is. Finally, she didn't even listen to him. She couldn't even hear him say, return, return. She didn't answer. She was gone. Amen. Amen? So, notice here in verse 25, it speaks of their hands. And their hands do not speak of service or servants. These hands translate strength. There's a strength in these hands. Isn't that beautiful? See, she's strong. She is. She's a lover and she's a warrior. And she lays her hands to that spindle, just like the virtuous woman, amen, of Proverbs 31. And you think about that strength. Think of what is spoken of the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3:8. We know it means a little company, but there's so many layers in that. It says, thou hast a little strength. And I thank God the word points that out. She adds to the usefulness of her husband. Why does she have a little strength? Because the power of Christ rests upon her because she glories in her infirmity. Now you understand why you're here on a Wednesday night. You have no other place to go. Amen. Oh, thank you for the word. But then you see the word spin and spun. This is very wonderful here. It's beautiful. Let's read verse 24 and 25 together. 25 and 26. It says, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Spin, spun. You see the difference when they had the blue and the purple and the scarlet? There were ones that had it that brought it in, and that was wonderful. And they brought that to the Lord. But there was something different with this in their hands. There was something more that was in, if you will, their hearts of wisdom. And that is the difference. That word spin and spun, it means hunger. I love that. They hungered for what they had. They have a first love for what they had. They had a desire, if by any means, for what they had. They hungered for more. They wanted to take that time. These would be the ones that would take that and do the cunning work of the cherubim upon the blue and the purple. See, you can see the reigning and the ruling, amen? But then by the grace of God, you can be the knitted cherubim in it. It's absolutely endless. And I thank the Lord we enjoy it together, amen? So, I told you I was excited about this one. Now, they have an insatiable desire for the ruling and reigning jointly together. And they take it, and they hunger for it. And this word spin and spun, it also means to entwine it. That means layered, to twist it. See, there's a strength that builds up when you take the Word of God. And when the Word of God, see, the Word is tested in your life. Amen, it is, isn't it? And praise God, as those strands are twisted, you know what happens? They become stronger. Amen. And that's what the Word of God does, is He weaves this in our life. This is that line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. And notice, it's all purple and scarlet. It's all, and the blue. It speaks of that royalty, that reigning with Him. And it's twisted, it's compacted. And it builds up the masterpiece, the Word of His grace. This is His grace and glory doctrine. Praise God. Now in verse 26 as well too, it gives us a double portion for these women. These women were wise-hearted. They were ruling and reigning as kings. They had the wisdom to go in there in encouragement of hunger to spin. And what else did they spin, it says? Goat's hair. There's a lot of wonderful meaning of the goat. And I love when they would bring the two goats in and there would be the one they would keep and set free, and then the one that would be the sacrifice, and how beautiful that is. But this goat hair and what we're speaking of here speaks, and let me tell you something, that's glory. But this goat hair that we're speaking of today is the goat hair of the Song of Solomon. This is the goat's hair of the bride. Let's go over to Song of Solomon chapter 4. And the wonderful stuff here. It's so endless, and we're just touching on it tonight. I pray it'll spark some encouragement. Go back and just search those things and let the Lord just expound it in your heart. And send me emails and texts and letters and tell me all the things the Holy Ghost is showing you. But there in Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 1, the bridegroom speaks, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." Goes on over to chapter 6, verse 5. Let's go over there. Speaking to her again. The bridegroom says, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that will appear from Gilead." See, the goat hair, brothers and sisters, makes the finest of linen. It's the cashmere that we know. It's the softest. It's the warmest. It's the most valuable. It's the most beautiful. And that's her hair. The glory of the woman. We know that the woman is the glory of man, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, it says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." See, this goat's hair also speaks, and he's so smitten. It's as if it's a veil, a wedding veil, that covers her. He knows that that is his wife. And as that eye comes forth to look at him, he says, "I'm just overcome and overwhelmed with your beauty." Wonderful to see how he thinks of us and the love he has for us. So, as we close this up, we haven't gone to the rest of the verses, but we're going to them now. You notice that we've come through the servants. Now we come through this reigning company, and we see that it's the kings, but there's something missing. We need the priests, don't we? See, in Revelation chapter 5, turn there, and this prepares us for the last two verses of this study tonight. But in Revelation chapter 5, we'll begin reading from verse 8. And it says there, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth." Not on the earth, but over the earth. So we see that with that those wonderful companies, if you will, the 24 elders and the four living ones. It says that they are made kings and priests. Now, we've just read about the women. They're the wise-hearted ones. They have that kingly heart. Amen. They're looking at nothing but the blue and the purple, the scarlet. That speaks of reigning and that royalty. Praise God. But now, here come the priests. Let's go ahead back to chapter 35. Read verses 27 and 28. "And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense." So that gets our attention. It says the rulers. The rulers are the princes. The rulers are exalted ones. And oh my, what they brought. They brought the things for the priests. Is what they brought. First of all, if you notice, they brought the onyx stones. The onyx stones would be set one each on the priest's shoulders, on their ephod. It would be this, if it was kind of the joining part of their garment that would be set here. And then it said that they brought the breastplate, obviously the breastplate of faith, but this was the breastplate that the priest would wear that had the stones of the tribes that would sit, and he would put that on. And that breastplate speaks of the faith over the heart that is full of love. Faith in love. And then what does it say there? It says that they brought in spice and oil for light. This anointing oil. Sweet incense. This speaks of the Holy Ghost. This speaks of thankfulness. It speaks of the light here. The glory. Once again, all I can see is the bride descending, having the glory of God and her light. All the things are here. All the things of the kings and priests, because this is the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. To Moses, brothers and sisters, this was the building, the tabernacle that was made with hands. But to us, oh, there is a new continuing city. Abraham spoke of it, not made with hands, but made of God and made for his son. Just like Eve, she was made for her husband. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And that will conclude our little venture, I think, for right now into Exodus. I'm sure we'll go back. I believe the Lord will be getting us back into that tabernacle if he tarry and enjoying many of the things there. But as I mentioned, God willing, we'll begin a study in Romans. And I believe the Lord is encouraging me to just take a chapter, not that we're going through the whole chapter, but just some real notables in each chapter each week. And there's some incredible bridal revelation there in some things that I believe might be a little more light upon light. And I do ask you to continue to pray for these pastors that came. It's been on my heart greatly, and to truly lay the foundation of Paul's gospel. People need to know Romans. Romans, you get the whole shot in there. But until you really see that justification by faith, that mercy, I think you're just kind of drudged through Paul's gospel as opposed to soar. A lot on my heart right now. Sure love you. But I know we pray for one another. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.